Good afternoon. It is October 16th, 2016. You're listening to A Little Calm A, A Little Calm B, hosted by Will Limonos and co-hosted by the one, the only, the 5'7" and some odd pounds, originally from Hancock, Massachusetts, Zach Bishop. Yeah, Zach, how you doing today?
There you go.
He specifically asked for a... he specifically requested that there'd be an intro today for him. Which is funny because I said you could just say it yourself, but wanted no part of that. But we're back.
You can't introduce yourself. That doesn't work.
We could have just it. We could have pre-recorded it and then gone live.
How would that have worked of me hyping myself up?
I don't know. I think it would have been like, how is he doing this right now? He's talking and Andy's talking. You could have been the Jeff Dunham.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Could have been the Jeff Dunham podcast here.
I just thought, you know, it'd be cool. I want to know what it sounds like if I had an intro, you know? It just, yeah, that's exactly what I was looking for.
I did my best.
Because everyone's like, wait, who is this guy? Do they have a new co-host? Oh, okay.
Coming soon, we will have a sexy co-host. Her name will be something. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I'm just like thrown to the curb just real quick for, you know.
We're not getting rid of you. We're adding a little appeal to it.
Oh, okay. I may have jumped the gun there. I may have got a little excited.
Yeah. Don't act like that. yeah. You never trust anyone. All right. I just saw a video. I can't trust anything anymore. This video has just completely blown my mind. If you haven't seen it, it's the shark cage accident video. It's apparently all over Facebook. Zach sent it to me earlier today. I'm sure everyone else has seen it. I'm one of the last to finally see it. But in this video, I don't know where they're at. They're somewhere where there's sharks, so they're in the water. And this shark,
the ocean.
Yes, and then they throw out the bait or whatever, or the chum, to get the shark to come see it. Because what's the fun of being in a shark cage if there's no sharks around? Anyway, so the shark comes and gets very aggressive, which I think I've seen videos before where they kind of like, you know, bump into the cage, you know, try to attack it, and then realize, yeah, I can't go through these metal bars. This shark, just a savage, goes straight into the cage, and then they open the top of the cage and like jumps out from the top. And at the beginning of the video, you can't tell if there's somebody there or not. And you could tell one guy who's kind of on the boat there is in charge of it, and he throws his hat off. He's in a panic. He doesn't know what to think of this, because he knows there's somebody in there. Mm-hmm. But the shark runs away. He swims away. He's gone. And now they're just pulling up somebody, and finally somebody comes up, and there was somebody in the cage. Yeah, so I'll tell you, out of that video, I learned never to trust anything, and I also learned that I'm never going into a shark cage. There's nothing encouraging about this now. It's not shark-proof.
Okay, so my question is, before you saw this video, were you interested in being in a shark cage?
No, but I think I wouldn't have think I would have had as strong of an argument to not do it. You know, like skydiving, yes, you can die, all right? You're jumping out of the sky. Your parachute could fail. You know, there's a variety of things. My argument against a shark tank would have been, well, you know, I wouldn't really have one. It would be like, there's nothing can go wrong, you know, unless you really can't handle scuba gear. What's the worst thing that could happen? It's shark proof, right? It shouldn't be. It's a cage. Nothing comes in, nothing goes out.
Okay. So that's good to know that you didn't want to do it beforehand, but, you know, nothing's changed, is what I'm saying. Am I crazy that I'm on the other side completely, that before this I wanted to be in a shark cage at some point, but now I'm... Like, this didn't completely make it so I didn't want to go in one? Does that make me a crazy person?
Yes, but to think of it this way, the only people who would want to go into a shark cage to begin with are crazy people. So it's perfect for you. It's right up your alley.
All right. Well, here's another thing, is they definitely pulled one person out. We don't know how many people were in there beforehand that they didn't pull out.
All right, what I want to know is there's a cage right next to it, and I'm assuming there's somebody else in there. What are you thinking? And you're in the neighboring cage right now, and you just saw this shark just swim right into your neighboring cage and is now in the cage and just going crazy, flapping around and attacking and biting and doing who knows what over there. And you're in your cage and you're thinking, yes, I'm fine, but obviously, no, I'm really not fine. How do I get out of here?
See, I can't exactly put myself in that situation because I think I'm the guy that's in, like, the main cage that the shark just busted in. I'm more in your head where you're in that side cage where you're like, oh, man, I don't like this. I don't like this. I got talked into this. Like, I'm on vacation. I was looking to have, like, a fun time. But you know what? Like, they really, you know, we're out there. Okay, what's the big deal? I'll put on the scuba gear. I'll be in here. Like, really, I'm in a cage. Like, I should be fine. Then you see that happen, and you're just, like, immediately you're just yelling into your mask, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. Just a whole bunch of times over and over again.
Which, at that point, does nothing for you and nothing for them and nothing to the shark. It doesn't matter at that point. It's just...
Oh, not even a little bit. That shark was... He was hungry.
But, well, is it weird that
very
he...
Very much
that
hungry.
It just swam away? Like, is that normal behavior? Like, was he kind of freaked out, too, being like, all right, I just wanted to scare him. I didn't want to get in, and then I got to get out. I realized that that's got to be like a shark code or something like that. Like, we draw the line here, guys. This is how things work.
I think there has to be something similar where he saw some, like, delicious treat, and he went to go get it and then kind of just slink through the bars real quick. But then he was, like, in the cage. So he starts to kind of panic, and he hits the bars a whole bunch, and then once he gets out, he was like, this was way too much work. Like, I can find regular food, like, much easier without all this nonsense. Like, this was too much. There's no way this was such a delicious treat. No way. I'm fine. I will swim away, but if I see it again, I'm definitely going to go for it.
Staying away from the shark cage, too. The shark is now staying away. So that's going to make the shark cage, one, not even cool anymore. You know, this word's going to get around to the sharks to let them know one of two things. One, it's not worth it, and two, it is possible. It's like, yes, no, we can climb that mountain, which is a terrible metaphor for something that swims. But anyways, moving forward, something that's semi-related to all this, I actually went to a haunted house the other day in Del Mar out here. They have a nice little Halloween fest thing going over there. They got a carriage ride, and they got two walk-through haunted house type things. One is described as kind of just your traditional haunted house, and the other one is described as a abandoned carnival or something along the lines of that.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of scary movies or being scared. I don't understand why anyone would. You know, being scared is a feeling you don't like. It's discomfort. It's uncomfortable. Nobody should ever want to have that feeling and volunteer to have that feeling. We paid money for this, too. That's the crazy part. But I was just curious, what are your thoughts and maybe some of the listeners' thoughts on being scared? Is this something you actually enjoy doing, or is there something sickening with it that you know it's not actually dangerous, you just kind of want to almost have that edge feeling?
All right, I got a bunch of points here. This is good.
They're all wrong. All right, but we'll let Colin B talk.
No, because I think we're gonna be way more on board than you think, because you and I, we hang out, good friends, do a podcast together. Hey, I would love to jump out of an airplane. Perfectly working airplane.
Mistake.
You don't want any part of that. Okay. That kind of gets us on, you know, separate sides of the adrenaline, okay, thrill seeking. Cool. That's our separate, going different directions. But when it comes to this whole Halloween getting scared and it's all fake, I want no part of it. Not any little part of it. I've never been into it. I don't like scary movies. I don't know exactly how this got all lined up. I know when I was a kid, I watched, which is probably for a lot of people, a comedy, which was the Ernest Halloween, which all I remember from it was that to get rid of the monsters is you had to spray them with milk. But I remember when watching it that there was like some girl like was in her bed. She kind of heard something. She looks under her bed to see if she sees anything. Under the bed, there's nothing. When she, like, turns around to, like, get back on her bed, there's a monster in her bed that gets her. I don't remember exactly what happened, but gets her. And it was like, oh, no, no, no. Nope, don't like that. So I have never been a fan of that. More recently, had a buddy, you know, I'm, you know, in New England, very much fall now. And he texts, you know, it's a group text saying, and it just, the headline is, yo, we should get some girls together and go to this. And the link is to some sort of haunted house, but it's not a haunted house. It's where you drive through. So I don't know exactly what the term is for it, but it's a haunted house, but you drive through it. And when he sent that to me, I just knew immediately, I want no part of this. I don't think me peeing my pants in front of some girls is really going to help me. This seems like a really bad idea. So, yeah, I want no part of haunted houses, not one bit.
All right, well, here's another part of it. So in the haunted house, there's people dressed up in all sorts of different costumes. Some were scary, some are more just characters, like a lot of the new movie. What was it? The Will Smith movie with Jared Leto. I'm blanking on the name. What was the
name
of the movie?
Squad.
Suicide Squad. That's it. That whole, a lot of that cast was actually in this haunted house. A lot of knockoffs.
Will Smith was there?
Yeah. No, they were there. but one thing I started thinking about is, so I walked through, and it's a fairly elaborate haunted house. It probably takes you about, I'd say, 12 minutes to get from the start to the end of one of them. And inside, there's strobe lights, there's dark lights, there's all sorts of different disco lights, and at one point, there's just a whole bunch of blow-up, like, balloons and stuff like that. And throughout the whole way, there's people jumping out and banging on walls and screaming and making scary laughs and all that. And for 12 minutes, yeah, that was really uncomfortable, but at least after that 12 minutes, I was done. That was it. Those actors, they do that all October, like hours and hours of the day. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how their eyes are not completely fried from the strobe light. I think that's an underrated aspect of all these haunted houses. If there is a commitment to these, I'm assuming they're actually probably reasonable actors. This is just a great way to make some money, you know, doing some sort of stage performances. But shout out to anybody who does do that. And if anyone who does, if they know anything about it, there's got to be a trick or something. They got to rotate or something. I don't know how it works, but that's a long time to be in a very uncomfortable area. And also part of me wonders if, would you ever try and scare your coworkers? Like, I feel like there'd be some fun in that as well, because they're not expecting anyone to jump out at them. They know everything that's going to happen. You know, what if that doesn't happen? What if something else happens? Do you think they ever get scared?
Well, this is why you could have done a podcast with literally anybody else in the world. I have an exclusive inside. We haven't even discussed this yet. Listeners, Will has no idea about this. I have an inside scoop on how these people that are in these haunted houses scare people. I have an exclusive on how they feel. Will, would you like to hear about this? Would you like to know the backstory on this?
I don't think I care as much, but I think the listeners would.
You're trying to build
yes,
the story
yes,
down.
Yes, yes,
you
please,
build it up.
Mr. Bishop, yeah. Mr. 5'7" from Hancock, Massachusetts. Please tell us.
don't tell them that I'm the same height as you. I'm much taller than you.
5'8".
I don't know why you're trying to tear me down here.
Next time I'm going to say it
but
in meters,
anyway,
and that's going to confuse everyone even more.
Oh, that no one's going to understand that. No, but actually, absolutely, for real, this fall, my parents, they're getting closer and closer to retiring, so they're trying to figure out, hey, once we officially quit our jobs, what are we going to do? And by where they live, there is a ski resort, and so, you know, obviously during the wintertime, you know, it's skiing, but in the off season, they tried many different things to try to get people to come in. One of them is they have a haunted house. I don't know if it's exactly a haunted house. I don't know what you call it. If it's like a trail, you know, whatever you did, it's, you know, it's scary. So they saw that within, you know, they saw it in the paper or whatever adults find stuff in, and they applied for it, and they were hired. So for the past couple of weekends, that is exactly what they've been doing, is they go in there, they go early. You either get a mask, or there's makeup people there that put makeup on you. And there's, you know, the person at the beginning that kind of sets you up for where you're going in. And then there's other people that are inside that are exactly what you're saying. They just yell at you, or they make weird noises. But from what I've heard from them, they've had a great time. I was talking to my dad earlier when he was wearing the mask. One of the things is he kind of like lines people up, and it's kind of like a, okay, yeah, you're going in. And the whole kind of theme is jail. You're going into jail.
Mm-hmm.
But his kind of twist on it is, so he's, you know, a contributing member of society. You know, he runs a 30-second clock at the, you know, at the basketball games. He's just, you know, he kind of goes to football games. So he just kind of knows, you know, different people. And so when they show up here, whether he knows you or he knows, you know, your brother or, you know, some sort of relation. So he's there. He's in a mask. You don't know who he is because he's got a mask on, and he's an average height, you know, guy, you know, weight and build and everything. But he'll go in and then he'll just say something like, oh, yeah, you guys are all from North Adams. So, yeah, you guys can all stay together. And you can just tell it's like, wait, how did he know where we're all from?
Or oh, I don't like that.
Or he'll make a comment like, okay, yeah, you're going, yeah, just because your brother's a big lacrosse player, you know, doesn't mean we're not going to scare you. And you could just see the look on their face like, wait, how does he know that? Who is this guy? Who? Oh, okay. And he kind of just puts him on edge. And he told me, he said, you know, these, you know, middle school, high school groups come in, and the guys come in, and they're all sorts of, you know, I'm a tough guy, I don't care. But he said, you know, the first move that when he like lets them go is they walk down some stairs, and then his move is he slams the door really hard, as like that's the start of your walk through this like super scary thing. He said majority of the time, all of a sudden the girls are very much in the front. Which I thought was very funny. Like, you go there with a bunch of girls, you've been in the car, you drove out there, like, no, yeah, nothing scares me, yeah, no, yeah, we're gonna be good. And then you, like, when, like, the moment of truth happens, you're like, maybe you go first, because, you know, like, I'll just let you do it. No, just see what happens, because, yeah, I don't want you to see me, you know, being all scared back here.
Well, one thing that's pretty well done about this haunted house, I don't want to spend that much more time on it, but there are emergency exits at pretty much every corner, and some were labeled and some were not. Some of you could just tell that there's a curtain and you go out that way. At one point, when there was like all the balloon kind of room, you need to like find the right way in and out, and the way it's set up is it makes you feel like you just keep going in circles. And we actually did go in a circle, and then we went back straight through again, and we were lost. We were actually lost, and I was like, all right, I don't know if one of these guys is going to break character or not, but I was like, hey, how the hell do we get out of here? And he goes, really, guy? That way. But he said it like such a creepy voice, to the point of like, all right, well, there's no way we're the only ones, but we probably should have been able to figure it out, and we weren't able to. It's not like we were... We weren't the teenage group there either. We were a lot older. All right, we were a lot older than the majority of other people there.
So, question for you, because you did it, I didn't do it. I have no interest in doing it. If you don't mind telling me and the audience, how much did you pay to do it?
Well, it was actually a Groupon thing, so one person actually bought all the tickets.
And what was ever that rate? Just ballpark. Is what I'm looking for.
15, 20 bucks, I would guess. I have no idea, though. Actually, we did all three, so maybe it was a little bit more. But something around that. I can't imagine being that much more.
Okay, because that's when, you know, when my buddy texted me, and I just didn't really respond to it, but I talked to him later, and was just kind of like, hey, yo, I'm not interested in doing this. And he was like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, that's cool. And just kind of, like, asking me a little bit. It's like, I don't want to pay money to have a bad time.
Phrasing?
Like, I can pay money to, you know, go skydiving or, like, that sort of area of stuff, but to just have people jump out at me and try to scare me and just get super creepy, like, I don't know why I would voluntarily pay money to do that. Like, why would I pay money to be uncomfortable? It didn't line up for me.
Well, sometimes you pay money for things and they can still scare you. I'll give you a perfect example right now. The Galaxy Note 7 actually catches on fire. That's really scary. And there's actually scary video of this thing catching fire on a plane where it actually burns a hole into a carpet. That's scary, and that's also something you pay for.
It's on fire, man.
Oh, I'm not saying that was the wrong thing to do. When I saw that these were, like, overheating and exploding, I just assumed, like, all right, it got really hot, so hot that you couldn't touch it to the hand, but, you know, it wasn't actually on fire. It was just really, really hot. But if you look at these videos, there's really smoke coming out of these devices. Like, that would be...
Oh, yeah.
It's actually on fire. And I think this is going to be...
It's not messing around.
This is going to be a big, big day. I think we're... This is going to be – Galaxy is obviously, I think, at second fiddle or if not one of the top – if not the top Android one, possibly the top phone overall that competes against Apple and actually wins in a lot of battles against Apple. This could really, in my opinion, be a huge deal breaker. This is a big fallback. This is not something that's going to go away being like, oh, yeah, it was just the Galaxy Note 7. We can totally trust Samsung. You know, once a Samsung TV catches on fire or something like that, it's all going to come back to this. This is not going to go away. I think this is going to be an ongoing joke that is about to shift the entire leverage of that company.
I'm biased. I'm biased. I have a Samsung phone, not the Galaxy 7, but... I think actually I might have the Galaxy 7. It's not the Note. I don't have the big Note. That's actually, it's really big. So it's like, ooh, that catches on fire. That's like, that's a big deal. But once again, Will, you could do this podcast with a whole bunch of people. But once again, I got an exclusive. This weekend, I went to a concert. I was hanging out. You know, kind of group of guys, you know, going in. We're going to a concert. One of the friends of a friend, he had that phone. Oh man, like, are you concerned? And it's kind of like, no, I'm okay now. But you know what? He's going on vacation this weekend, taking a plane. I think he's going to Vegas. You're not allowed to take those on a plane. No, you can't bring this on, stick it in your carry-on like you could with like actually a gun. No, not at all. That will be taken out. You will not make it. And think about it. If you were going like on vacation tomorrow with your phone and now it's like you can't take your phone, that changes your vacation.
That changes everything.
Right? Like, and a lot of people are going to laugh like, oh, you're going on vacation. Oh, you can't handle like not having your phone. It's like, well, kind of. Like, I didn't know this going in. Like, my plan was like, yes, I'm going on vacation. I'm going with these people. I'm going to hang out. It's going to be a good time. But also, you know, football's on and like I want to text like my buddies about, you know, fantasy football, or like, oh, also, you know, I want to text like, you know my lady friend like real quick, like, oh hey, like things are going well or whatever. Like, this is like a big difference. So, oh man, like what are you gonna do? Do you get like mailed to you? Like, what is happening? He didn't know what was gonna happen, but I can see what you're saying, how this could be like a major move. I mean, if this was an Apple product, they'd be worse off, I think, just because Samsung and just like the Androids in general have a wider spread availability. But it's definitely not good.
I really think this is going to be a huge change in that business, and it's going to shift. I think the next phones that come out, if I'm another Android phone, I'm going to be taking shots at this. And that's the other thing. These companies are not afraid to take shots at each other. Like the whole the tablets against the iPads, be like, well, does yours have a keyboard or whatever, or does yours fold like this? You know, they do comparison commercials where they take direct shots at Apple. I feel like Samsung completely just opened up. There's nothing they can do. They're vulnerable right now. And I think every other company is going to rip them to shreds. This is not going to be a forgotten about thing.
My favorite meme is the Two-Face from Batman, and it's a picture of him with a note in his hand saying, like, I'd like to refund my phone, please, because, you know, his face is all, like, blown to bits. You haven't seen that?
I haven't seen that. I don't know. I'm not active enough. I got a new app we can talk about a little bit. It's literally called Later. The advantage of this app is I can schedule social media posts. So I like basically just put it all into a calendar and it uploads everything for me. So I've tested it out the past couple of days, which is why I've been a little bit more active on social media, but I still haven't actually been on there. Like, these are scheduled things. Like, and now I feel like I almost have an assistant who does that stuff for me. Be like, yeah, I have a marketing team that takes care of my social media. But I don't go on it enough to really notice things like that. Like, I didn't see the shark thing trending at all. I haven't seen that meme. It makes sense. I understand. I'm sure I can imagine exactly the face you're describing, but I haven't been on there. I just haven't. One thing I actually did see the other day on Instagram, it was a small little story, a little paragraph about it was from Luke Walton. He's now the head coach of the Lakers, and he was saying there was one time he showed up to practice hungover, and Kobe found out. And Kobe being Kobe, he said, no, you're going to have to guard me the entire practice. And he didn't let anyone else switch even on a screen with him. He said, no, you need to guard me the entire time. And Kobe just killed him. Must have had like 80 points in practice. Just went at him time and time after again. So I actually did catch that story. I thought that was funny. I was wondering if you had any other hangover practice stories or any time like that where somebody was just punishing you knowing you went out the night before or something like that, whether it be at work or a family event or something like that.
Well, before we go to my personal story, can we just like just rewind this back real quick? And obviously we've both played at practice, and it's hard to, you know, kind of keep track of exactly how many points someone scored on each other, but Let's just say the Kobe playing against Luke Walton hungover was 80 points. What was the number when Luke Walton was like completely sober and was like going hard? Like, what was the number there? Like 75?
I'm sure that number wasn't faced at all. That would have been
like,
the.
I get the whole story, but I just wanted to point that out. Like, Luke Walton.
The point was, awesome
job with the Golden State Warriors last year. Also a good team, but, you know, like, come on. Like, how good were you at guarding Kobe? Like, Kobe is really good. I hate Kobe. I want no part of giving Kobe any sort of, like, pro, but, like, it was Luke Walton. Like, what did that do? Like, come on. How much would you have normally scored on him?
I you're probably right that's the amount, but I still imagine having a menacing headache and just not wanting to be there, but being there because you're professional and you have a job and this is what you do. But obviously, yeah. There's an extra factor of just a jab that call it unnecessary, but I like it for it. It's so much better that it's Kobe. That I think that makes the story so much better. Like, if it was like LeBron or something like that, I don't think we'd care as much. But you know, Kobe being the cutthroat player that he is, just killed him. Just went at him.
Yeah, when I heard the story, it didn't surprise me at all. It wasn't like that's new. It's like, oh, yep, that makes sense. As far as personally, I just normally know when like something important's happening that it's like, oh no, this isn't a going out and, you know, we're really partying tonight kind of night, because like we got to do whatever you have to do tomorrow. But it's not exactly the same. But I do enjoy the nights where you go out partying with some buddies, when the next day you're all playing like basketball, you're playing football the next day. I do like that a lot, where you and I have done that together. You and I have done that with like some other buddies before, whether it's basketball or football, where that just seems cool, where, hey, we were all out the night before, we had a blast, and the next day, it's just like, ooh, all right, I'm going to try to guard you. Ooh, you're going to try to guard me. Okay, this seems equal. I can get on board with that, but I'm not sure I can think of a specific where someone else like called me out really hard about it, only because normally I'm with my buddies the night before, but I'm with that day of.
I don't think I have any other story or any sort of anything along the lines of that. Where I mean, there was definitely a few times, but we were there. There's no entertainment value to it. There's nothing else to add. But one other thing.
The only thing I can think of is my junior year in college. There was an open practice for the D1 team that was kind of like this could be interesting. Like maybe we should test this out. And even at the time, knowing like this is probably not going to work out. And definitely looking back, was like, oh, there was no chance. But it was one of those. It was early. It was going to be like, ooh, this is at 7 in the morning on a Saturday. And then they did that specifically. And that Friday night, like, we went out, we played a little pickup, then got back and was like, oh, no, we're going to keep it. You know, okay, we're going to, you know, take care of this. And then there was a certain point that we just flipped over to, well, we could just kind of start drinking and kind of have fun. No, you know what? We're not going to practice tomorrow. That's probably the closest to that, but that doesn't even make the same amount of sense, because no one called me out the next day. It was like, nope.
I've made a huge mistake.
As you keep saying, 5'7", but I'm very much not 5'7", but I wasn't going to make the D1 team.
All right, fine. We will round up to 1.73 meters.
See, no one knows what that means.
Well, nobody cares anyways. I'm more along playing to that it doesn't matter how tall you are. They can only hear your voice. They don't even know what you look like. Your most up-to-date picture is from 6 years ago. So nobody even knows who you are anymore. I heard that you kept your same permit license picture on your 21 license picture now. So you need to get an update everything.
My license is still from when I was 21.
And how old are you now?
Why would I change that? why would I change that now?
I don't know.
What does your picture look like?
It looks like me.
How long is your hair now? How many inches specifically?
I don't know. You know, I'll have to get the meter back out here.
Get a ruler out and like spread it. Like, there's a lot of curls going on. Pull on it. You know, I don't want any of that fake number.
It's easily a high number of centimeters. I'll say that.
Yeah. See.
Yeah. I'm sticking with the metric right now.
That's not how it works.
Speaking of, that's not how things work. Another little side basketball story I saw the other day. So Kevin Durant, who just signed with the Golden State Warriors, is in a pregame era. They're just warming up. There's a kid on the sideline who just got his nachos. I'm sure they cost him like $15. And Durant is sitting at the scorer's table over there waiting for the game to start. And he asks the kid to come over and he says, hey, can I have one of your nachos? And the kid's super excited because here's Kevin Durant. He wants to go talk to him. You know, he wants one of his nachos. He's like, all right, that was a great idea getting nachos. I didn't realize that me buying nachos is going to mean I got to meet Kevin Durant. And then part of me was like, you know, that Kevin Durant doesn't need to be eating nachos before games. He doesn't need to be bothering this kid and all that. He just, I don't know whose side I'm on, because obviously that parent probably spent decent money on those tickets and even more decent money on those nachos. And here Kevin Durant is taking all of them, eating them away. What side are you on?
So I got two thoughts on this. One point is very much specific on the kid that's there. Like you said, his parents paid a bunch of money to get there. And even if it wasn't the kid, even if it was like the parent was there and you spent the money, I'm thinking whatever amount of money you spent on those tickets, you getting to interact with Durant is just like, that's invaluable. Like, how often do you get that opportunity? Any sort of, even like a small interaction to interact with a former MVP, you know, most likely going to be on like an NBA championship team this year.
Whoa. We'll get to that. Keep going.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough. So it's like, that seems to be one of those cool. You know what? You paid for these tickets. Deal. He ate two chips. Yeah, those nachos are expensive, but you got to interact with Durant. You're on social media now. Everyone saw you. You could tell all your friends at school. Yeah. I know Kevin Durant. Like, no.
I know Kevin Durant. Yeah.
My second part is that happened, and also this weekend there was a video of LeBron. I'm not sure where it was, but he didn't take it from a fan, but he was eating popcorn. Just like you know how they're kind of like at the end of the bench and they're just kind of like laying on the ground for whatever reason, but he was like eating popcorn down there. And my thing is, these are like super elite athletes. And I mean, it's not that long ago. What was it? Maybe 6 months ago or maybe 8 months ago. We heard about, you know, Tom Brady's diet where it was crazy. And you hear about all the stuff that LeBron does that's just like, no, it's like, this is the diet, this is what you do, it's da-da-da-da. But then you see this, it's like, wait, so, but every once in a while you can just, like, eat popcorn and nachos? Like, you know, and I'm not holding it against him because, you know, I like nachos, I like popcorn, I eat that. But it seems like, no, like, this is very regimented. They're doing this. They're in the cold bath. Like, we're very, very, you know, on board with this. But popcorn, that's okay. So that's my second point on that.
I think they're just completely distracted. It's a it's like the temptation of being surrounded by nothing but stadium food for 80-some-plus games and then practices and et cetera. You can only be teased so far, I feel like, to the point where you're like, no, I need to have the nacho today. All right. It's just a preseason.
And yeah. And that's where I'm not on the side of, you know, trying to, are you serious or not? Like, you ate nachos. Like, wait, do you really want to win a championship? It's not that. It's just, man, you're doing all these other things. But I think it's cool. I think it puts both of them like in a good light, kind of a, hey, I eat popcorn. I'm just like LeBron James. We're basically the same.
Well, I don't know. I think part of me would, I'd be very fortunate to have tickets like that kid had, or any other lower level stadium arena tickets. I'd be very fortunate to ever have those tickets.
As we're going towards that, how much would you pay for front row seats to a preseason game?
I wouldn't. I know how much they are, and I would have no interest of it. I would pay like $100 max. That would be it. And even if I did do that, I'll tell you what I was definitely not spending money on once I got there was nachos. All right, so that's. But this is encouraged me a little bit more though to think, well, maybe I should buy nachos because there's a chance, slight chance, it doesn't happen all the time, that maybe I could get buddy with one of the players out there. But knowing I've already spent so much money to get there, and of course I had to spend money on parking, which is another ripoff of attending events, that's not included in the ticket value. So now you add the parking, an already overpriced ticket to a game that doesn't even matter, and now I got to buy food for the possibility that maybe I'll meet one of them. I'm against this entire idea. It's not good.
Now I'm imagining you, and it's just completely in a like a cartoon sort of universe. It's just you getting nachos and somehow putting these nachos on a, you know, like on a fishing hook, and you just have these like out there, and you just like,
I'm imagining me just having a sign.
Click. Oh man, oh Durant's getting close. He's getting close. He's getting close. Oh, and you're pulling up on the line as you're trying to reel Kevin Durant in. It's just a visual I have in my head right now.
Well, that's yeah. Well, you keep that to yourself here. Speaking of visuals, all right. How can I transition into this? Here we go.
Wait. Before we transition, you said later on. Maybe we make this now. You don't think that Kevin Durant is going to be on a championship team this year?
No.
Really? Who do you think is going to win this year then?
I don't need to make that decision right now.
Okay. Wait. All right. That's fair. It just seems like, hey, here's a team won 2 years ago, relatively the same team was in the finals, and now they add Kevin Durant. They do lose a little bit of depth, but they're for sure the favorite. I mean, you ask anybody, you ask Vegas, they're very much the favorite compared to anybody else.
Did Miami win the first year they played?
Yes.
Did they? No, they lost. Did they lose?
Who'd they lose to?
Did they lose to Dallas?
Was that the first year or the second year? Actually, no, you're right. Yeah, because then they think they lost the first. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, no, good call.
I'm almost positive. I'd say 90% sure that they did not win the first year. And I don't think that they'll have a bad year. And I do think that eventually they will win, assuming they do all stay together and do stay healthy. I just don't think that it's going to take a little time getting used to. And even if they have a whole lot of success
what's the part to get used to? That's my question, because I hear that argument a lot. And I feel like you and I, we're just like a lot of times on the same page, especially basketball-wise, that, okay, you know, it's going to take them a while to get used to, where normally that argument is a kind of the Miami 3 or, you know, the Boston Big 3, a little bit less the Boston Big 3 because that was like three different positions. But this is like you have a former MVP that's still in his prime. That like, well, what's the part to get used to? Oh, well, like he likes to do this, but like he doesn't have to do that. he can shoot it. Like he can make moves off the dribble. You just pass it to him. He doesn't need to dribble. He can just shoot it. You know, what are you thinking here?
It makes all the sense in the world on paper. There's just certain situations that they've never been in that they're going to have to get used to. And I have no doubt that they will adjust and get to that, but it's going to take some time. And I think the harder thing with it right now is nobody really knows what their weakness is. I think throughout the year they'll develop some sort of weakness. Something will be flawed, I'm assuming. They can't be that undefeated and that perfect of a team. I don't know what that is, but I know that they're going to have some sort of challenge that they're going to have to overcome, and every team has it. Especially when you add a new player, and even more when you add a player of that caliber. There's just something to it. And teams are going to be gunning for them. I'm not saying that they weren't last year or they haven't been in the past or even just on Kevin Durant's previous team. It's going to be different. It's going to be different with the media. They're going to do their best to not let that happen or annoy them or even change anything. It's going to be different. They've never done this before.
What is your over-under prediction for the Warriors?
For wins this year?
Yeah.
You got to set the bar at 70, I think. I feel like if they don't get 70, I think it's a disappointing year. I also don't think if they make it to the finals, it's a disappointing year. It's really high expectations, but those are kind of the expectations you have to set after you have the greatest regular season of all time and come a game away from winning an NBA championship. That's as close as you will ever get and as good of a season as you will ever get. So in terms of setting goals, you don't set them. I mean, you can be realistic about it, but I don't think they need to break the record. But I think 70 games.
Okay, I'm gonna dig into that a little bit. How would you like to make a little little column A, little column B bet right now.
Yeah, go for it. You can present any sort of bet. It's like an offer, right? You can get any offer you want right now. It doesn't mean I'm going to accept it.
No, yeah, that's exactly. I'm just going to knock it down slightly. I'm going to say I will take the over on 69 wins for the Warriors.
I don't know. I'll take the under. I don't think they're going to do it.
All right. I don't know what we're gonna put on this. We'll figure this out later. But I'm willing to, do a over the air shake hands bet on me taking the over 69 and you taking the under, and we'll figure out what our stakes will be on that soon before the season starts. We'll figure something
before
out.
Before the season, well, I want to do an entire preseason breakdown of everything, our predictions. We kind of ran out of time and didn't really organize enough for football to go through our predictions there. But I would really like to get into that with the NBA. Hopefully we'll have time to organize something like that. Well, yeah,
nope,
you got a deal.
That sounds that'll be part of that. We'll figure something out. But I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, I got a lot to gamble with right now. My hair length actually is something I'm willing to throw out on the table right now. Haircuts can happen. I'm willing to gamble it.
Please,
right now.
Please, anybody in our audience, please bet Will on haircuts to get him to cut his hair.
Hold on.
He doesn't know. He's out on the West Coast. All his friends are on the East Coast. You just make bets to, he'll cut his hair. Sooner or later someone will win. But, he just doesn't have friends out there to let him know. Like, hey, man.
All my friends out here
short.
Are from
it's
the East
be way
Coast.
Better.
All my friends out here are from the East Coast. So it's like having East Coast friends out on the West Coast.
It's not the same.
How is it
not
it's exactly the same.
It's not the same. They don't have your best interests in mind.
And then my friends I grew up with on the East Coast, they do.
Yes, they absolutely do.
There, there are some extreme bias right now. All right, this is the most biased thing you've ever said on the show, and we've been doing this for over a year now.
That's not true. I've said way more biased things about the Celtics.
All right,
I will
give you a Tommy point.
Hit the Tommy point button a whole bunch of times.
A Tommy point.
You get a Tommy point for having my best interest. However, I strongly disagree, and I will say this. Until I lose the bet, my hair is gonna be what it is because I like it that way. And what's that?
That's what I'm telling our listeners. Like, please make bets with Will. That so I feel like I can only make so many bets, and I'm hoping they can help me out here.
Challenge accepted. The only hard part making
please,
these bets.
Please, listeners, please help us out. Look at Will's Facebook. Look at pictures. See, that doesn't even work. That doesn't work because that's just like a look thing. I just know Will with short hair, it's just he can make more buckets than Will with long hair.
Oh, my God. Somebody said that the other day. They actually commented on my last I did a throwback Tuesday or throwback Thursday post. And somebody said, can we please go back to this hair? I promise you I'll pass you the ball more. and this is somebody.
Oh.
This is some.
That's rough.
This is somebody who I've met out on the West Coast, and I play basketball with. So you talk about not having my best interest in hand. I feel like he made his case to support your. You guys would get along, all right?
I don't like that because big shot Will. He makes a lot of buckets, like. You should definitely pass him the ball. It's just more of, I just know there's that little bit of uptick. Like, God, now I don't want to jump on board with this. I don't like this so much.
I replied to that comment the same way I replied to you, saying everything is negotiable.
See, now I feel weird because now it's just like it seems like it's some sort of like cosmetic thing, but it's not that. Why do I care what you look like? I don't care at all. I just know.
One thing
Will
for sure.
With long hair was, you know, that was like a post after I graduated and things went downhill for you. And I was still in school and things were going well for you. Much shorter haircut. So that's all I can say.
The worst thing is I am going to donate my hair at some point in the near future. It is going to get donated. And for a good cause, it'll likely be Locks for Loves or some sort of other. I think Wigs for Kids is another one.
That is very true, and this is not your first time doing that, and that is very cool. And to the audience, he gets me every time when I really start to give him a hard time about this. He always pushes back and says, "Hey, I'm donating my hair. What are you doing?" And I'm not doing anything, and so.
That's always when
I back off, because like, hey, you know what? You're doing a good thing for people, because there are people that, you know, really, really, and really do well by what you're doing.
Although I will say, I do think my hair is nice enough to the point I could sell it.
Oh well, see, I take it all back. I take it all back. He could not sell it. It's so ratty. There's no way. No one wants that. It's all
It's awesome.
See what you did.
It's
what you did.
It's wicked awesome. wicked awesome.
Now he's trying to trick me. He's trying to trick me with Boston logic.
Yeah, that's it is great Boston logic. Anyways, transitioning from, I don't even know how to describe, this entire podcast has been a great podcast, but it has not been anything along the lines of what we were supposed to talk about, which is actually fairly common with a lot. No, we stay pretty on schedule. We don't actually go this far off topic that frequently, but we also don't have any reins to the point of being like, no, we need to stay in these categories. I think that is the best part about the podcast. People ask me all the time, well, what do you talk about? I'm like, well, sports and other pop culture items, like pretty much whatever we want. Well, do you talk politics? No, we don't do that. We're not that show. You know, we would probably be much more popular for negative reasons if that was it. Being like, who are these two idiots talking about?
I'm willing to give people suggestions on what they should listen to if they're looking for some good politics podcast. But yes, when people ask me, oh, but what's your podcast about? I don't even tell them. I just go, well, just listen to it. See if you like it.
I you know what? Maybe that's the response I should be going to, because some people are turned off by the sports or have their own sports podcast that they already listen to. But I like that it's a very flexible podcast in this, and that you never really know what's going to happen or really have any idea of the opinions or how our previous weekends went or any other stories of our life. So that's one thing I am enjoying doing the podcast, a little column A, a little column B, hosted by Will Limonos, co-hosted by Zach Bishop. We're going strong now. We're over a year. We got the website, lcalcb.wordpress.com. You can reach us at our Twitters, DJSwissMiss105 and Zach at
WickedZman24.
I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. We got about 6 minutes left in the podcast here. And let's talk about, what do you want to talk about? We got a couple things here.
You know what I want to talk about. And I don't know if 6 minutes is enough to do it.
I don't want to talk about the Celtics. All right, it's been a good podcast.
See,
right.
Exactly.
The Patriots already won.
I'll let you know.
The Patriots won.
Can we talk about Cincinnati?
Well, we're not on to Cincinnati anymore. We're done with Cincinnati. How you like them apples?
Oh, man. They were doing some really silly stuff.
Yeah, I'm not all right with that. Go ahead. The low shots, is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah, and then it was, you know, it was like, it was getting a little tested. It's like, all right, cool. Like, things are getting a little more. And then it's like, all right, we're up by, you know, two scores. And then, you know, Gronk catches the ball and he hops up and, you know, he's kind of jabbing a little bit, which is like, okay, you know, I get that. And then it's like, this is like an adult thing. And then Perfect comes in from like nowhere to like give his two pieces on it. And then somehow Gronk gets a penalty on that. It's like, this guy came out of nowhere. And you're down by two scores. Like, if it was tight, I could see it. Like, okay, cool. Like, Gronk probably started it. But if you run out of nowhere, come on. You gotta slow down. On the road. settle. Settle down.
I never wish, you know, even being a very, very competitive fantasy owner right now, I never wish injury upon anyone. So it's beyond frustrating when I see somebody almost intentionally try and hurt somebody. That drives me crazy. And it was even crazier is that they're doing it to a team and a player that I'm a huge fan of, being Gronkowski, who's also already had multiple injuries on that same leg and that knee. This is not okay. I do not like that. Accept your loss. Accept that you got defeated. You get to play again next week, and hopefully you play better, because if you're going to be playing that poorly and start hurting players, I don't want you in the league.
Like, you just hit him. Just hit him. All right, cool. And just – it just seems very, you know, ticky-tack. And I think Gronk got pulled into it a little bit, but he had the flu going into this game, so he might not have been all there, so –
Gronk didn't handle it very well to begin with. All right, he did instigate a little bit. Yeah. We were up by a lot. It was unnecessary to do any sort of pose or any sort of gesture at that point in time. And he apologized after, and I guarantee you Belichick leaned into him strong right after that play and all in the locker room. I can only imagine. I'm sure he's going to be running a couple extra laps at practice coming this next week. But one other thing, we have that situation and how that played out. I'm sure Gronkowski is going to be getting a little bit of hazing the next week here. What are we going to do with our enemy, the New York Giants, and Mr. Odell Beckham Jr. here, who just plays into the spotlight better than any other player I've seen? Like, you know, when Owens and Chad Ochocinco and all that, when they were doing all this, I felt like the game needed that sort of excitement. Like, it was cool because they were really good players and they were winning, and you never knew what was going to happen after. I feel like I kind of know what's going to happen when he scores, and I don't want anything to do with it. Like the gesture against the kicking net now was so excessive and over the top that even Giants fans have their hand on their head going, what in the world is he doing? Like, we get it. You were frustrated. You hit the thing. It came back and hit you. It was funny and embarrassing, and it's cool to, like, make fun of yourself to make it, you know, not as big of a deal anymore. But this is old news. We don't want to play on to that anymore. But lights, camera, action. This guy's just looking for attention, and he's going about it the wrong way.
All I have to respond to that is next week podcast, we have to have a drop for some sort of earmuff situation, because we text each other a certain profanity phrase about the Giants, and I know we got some young fans that listen to us, and I don't want to, you know, alienate them, so I'm going to just kind of, you know, keep it together. But maybe next week we kind of have a certain drop that lets people know, oh, okay, if you got young, you know, young adults in the crowd, you can kind of turn the podcast down real quick, and then I can say exactly what I think about this.
Well, we're just under a minute left here. You're listening to a little column A, a little column B, hosted by Will Eminos, co-hosted by Zach Bishop. Great show. Had a good time doing it. The Giants did end up winning that game anyways, which unfortunately is not going to be what anyone in social media or even sports media is going to be talking about. And we're talking about that stupid... it's not even a celebration. It felt like a poorly organized play. It was such a drama sitcom nonsense. I couldn't believe it was happening. But anyways, moving forward, great show. Throw out your Twitter one more time. Make sure you follow Zach. He's up to date on there, sharing a whole bunch of stuff. You can follow me at DJSwissmas105, as well as SoldByWill21. And you can reach Zach at?
I'm 5'9". Forget my Twitter. I am not 5'7". That's all I want.
That's all you're getting. And we'll see you in the next show. Thanks for listening.